You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. We are 9 days away from Christmas.
Unreal. Guys. But real. But real. Oh, wow. Has it flown by to you guys? I feel like it's flown by.
Always.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably especially, yeah. I mean, I don't know, is time standing still for you? Or is it
I don't even know how to answer that. Right. Yeah, but it's I love Christmas time.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah, I love it.
I do too. It's just fun. It's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
We're getting ready for Christmas Eve services and, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a sweet time. 8 days. Too.
If it's 9 days till Christmas, then it's 8 days till Christmas.
8 days till Christmas Eve.
Yeah, yes. Almost there.
I do love Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. So after our previous episode, I don't always tell Christy what we've talked about, and so she listens to – my Christy does listen to Boggy Talk, mostly.
Yeah, and you're doing a better job leading your home.
She texted me. She's like, count me as one of the three people who's thankful to have electric candles on Christmas
okay.
Eve.
My wife also said it's really? Probably the best move for my 7-year-old.
Yeah. For your 7-year-old.
Like, she's like, it's just so stressful when you have young kids with live fire
yeah.
in a room where people's hair is long.
Uh-huh. And
so I was like, valid point. So we will make many parents have a less stressed Christmas
That's
Eve.
That's true.
So
that's true.
It won't be as beautiful, but it will.
You do hold your breath. Like last year on stage, you're just kind of looking out and you're like, what am I going to do if somebody does in the moment? You know, what'd you guys do that one time?
Yeah.
When someone's hair caught on fire. You just, you didn't see it or.
I think it just happened and they put it out real quick. Like.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bam! Yeah. They just smacked him in the back of the head. I just
we
woke
did
people
like
up
a dinner
on
thing one time at the very, when I was first in ministry where I was a worship and student pastor. We did like a Christmas thing and we did like tables with candles on it and a kid like put his head down to go to sleep and his hair fell in it.
No.
And he bloody screamed like.
Bloody? What are you, British?
Sorry. I was trying to say scream bloody murder.
He bloody screamed. He bloody screamed, bloke. That bloke. Now that's
I've
Australian.
I've been watching the Downton Abbey Christmas.
He's got some Tiny Tim coming out. He's been watching the Christmas
game. It's been a long day, right? Like, it's been a long day. And I don't know.
He bloody screamed. I don't know what accents I'm doing. It's like some weird leprechaun slash.
Oh, man. We're tired. We've had a long day.
Bloody murder. And we stopped the song, and he ran, and we started again. It was just funny. I mean,
I would probably be like, my hair was on fire.
Did you bloody scream?
Yeah, I would probably bloody scream.
Oh, man.
Anyway.
So I guess we have a plan for just like, we're just going to turn them on.
Click. You can hear click.
We're
click,
still
click,
in
click.
The testing phase.
Yeah.
We do need to make sure that we... Like how long, and we will. Yeah, we've got to figure those details out. Those are in the minute details.
I was thinking it'd be cool if we could control them ourselves, so that like they would all come on.
Yeah,
that's probably very expensive.
Yeah. I mean, there are apps. We could have just said, "Y'all download the candle app." And
that's
then...
true. We did COVID. Remember, we did iPhones
we did
2020.
We did flashlights, didn't we?
In 2020.
Yeah. Yeah.
COVID. Yeah. COVID.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, 2020. We just did. I think
because we didn't want people blowing on their spit everywhere.
So
still probably not a good idea, but in COVID we cared about hygiene.
Can you believe we did that in Florida? We
I
actually
know,
thought about
I was
COVID.
Thinking it was just so long after.
Yeah, that's true. That's a great point.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. No, well, people were still... Because there was like a resurgence, remember?
That's true.
Yeah, it was COVID part two.
That is when we,
COVID part two.
We did.
Several of us got it. It was right before.
In November. It was in November, I think.
We didn't travel for Thanksgiving that year because we had it in the house on Thanksgiving. So yeah, it was coming back, so.
Memories.
I know. Wow.
That's nostalgic. COVID.
That is nostalgic. Wow.
Maybe not quite.
Yeah, though. No, not so quite.
Well, yeah. we've been studying the Old Testament for a while.
A minute,
and first Judges, and then last week you opened up with Ruth.
Right.
So we were just going to talk about some of the connections with those things in Christmas, which they don't really seem like there could be a connection,
but
there actually are. So we just want to do some sermon note reflections, kind of talk about Ruth and last week's sermon. So
what we're basically doing right now is for all the people who are critical that we're not doing an Advent series, we're saying, see, it really is Advent.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And no story in the Bible really captures Christmas more than the Levite and the concubine.
Yes.
So,
right.
Just kidding.
Yeah. So the reason we're spending 2 weeks in Ruth is because Ruth takes place during the time of Judges.
Mm-hmm.
So just felt like, hey, we based on teaching schedule and mapping out scripture, it's like we have a few free weeks. Let's look at Ruth. And so we'll actually, this past Sunday we did basically most of Ruth. The next Sunday kind of hit on some bigger pictures of Ruth. And then the final Sunday of the year, we'll come back and kind of wrap it all up with, you know, Judges and whatever, which will feel like it's 3 months from now. But yeah, I think all of the Bible points to Christ. And so I do think that that's probably something, and I think we all know this, and I think most of the people in our church understand this, but we do forget how many places that's not emphasized like it should be. Like the gospel is the center of human history, and it's the center of the Bible. And so you can't, as a Christian, read Judges or Ruth or anything without understanding Christ. Because we know that now. It's been revealed to us now. So as you look at Ruth, you do see several things. And maybe we can talk about those on a side note. But ultimately, you see this big, this picture of redemption, of God's redeeming things for his purpose. And so that's what we talked about this past week. Is, you know, that story of Ruth and how ultimately it is pointing to sinners being redeemed. And that's what Christmas is about. Christmas is not just about a baby in a manger. It's about who that baby was. And so, you know, long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. Well, Ruth feels her worth because Boaz, you know, what he does, and fulfilling his responsibility, and that's a picture of what God does for us.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think maybe what happens or has happened a lot of times for people is that the Old Testament specifically is read more as stories, like almost like fables. Like we would say fables are not true, but and we would say, well, we know the Old Testament is true, but we use the same type of interpretation when we say, oh, well, this is the story, and so here's the moral of this story, rather than seeing how it all is connected in this grand story, the narrative of the gospel. And so we want to look at it through that lens, because when you read the Old Testament anecdotally, you know, as trying to look for, you aren't going to necessarily see a moral in every story other than like, man, people are straight up terrible. And so in Ruth specifically, you know, if you read that story anecdotally, you would be like, oh, well, you should step in and advocate for people. You should step in and help people. But when you see, first of all, I mean, the book of Ruth, I mean, talks, I mean, this is, we're talking about the lineage of Jesus, we're talking about the lineage of a Jesus. And so there's that piece. And then you see this picture of, you know, the kinsman redeemer, like someone steps in someone's place to redeem. And what that is a picture of what Jesus did for us.
I know, I don't want to steal my thunder from this upcoming Sunday too much, but
go ahead. Give our faithful listeners
when you
a sneak
understand
peek.
What brought about the lineage of Jesus, and even in this story of Ruth, there's significant convergence of the lines. It's really amazing what God was, how God was. So this is how it ties into Judges too, how God was taking men in our sin, women in our sin too. I mean, they're like mankind, women sin too, Kelly.
And just not as much.
And yet,
thank you for that.
Redeeming it all. Redeeming it all. And that's kind of my closing point this upcoming Sunday will be, you know, God, what is right in God's eyes is to save a people who do what is right in their own eyes. Like, that is what God wanted to do when he created it. He knew we're sinners. He knew who we are. And yet he created us, and people are like, kind of get mad about the fact that we live in a sinful world, and mad at God for that. It's like, but you wouldn't exist. You wouldn't exist if there wasn't a sinful world. And so God is the one who's holy, and he tolerates that, like, patiently. Wanting us all to come to see who he is.
I think it's kind of, it's neat going from Judges. I mean, we were there for a long time, but then getting to Ruth after that, like, you do even understand Ruth more after going through Judges and just seeing, like, the depravity of people really during that time and how they just keep trying, and no matter what, no matter who God put up as a judge, it didn't matter, you know, they could not do it on their own. And then you just have this beautiful story of Ruth coming in, and he's just like, he knows the whole time, you know, what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. And he takes all those, even the tribes that he used, you know, it's just like you said, it's just a beautiful picture of how he's like, he surprises us and he always uses the people that we don't think he's going to and the least expected to. So,
We don't get to see like the beauty of a story like the Levite and his concubine is it does fully reveal to us where humanity is, you know, and we don't always get to see that in a culture like ours. I mean, I think we do, but we can turn the channel, you know.
Right.
But, you know, there it was like this nationwide reality of how depraved and bad things have gotten. And because you ended up preaching that sermon, we didn't get to talk about like the movie Seven. You probably aren't that familiar with it. But like in the movie Seven, you know, that's really the tension. It's actually a screenplay, you know, that was written and made into a movie, which I guess that's what is typically done. But it was it wasn't necessarily meant to be a movie. It was maybe meant to be a play, you know, which is probably hard. But the point is like he moves out of the country into the city and begins to be confronted with depravity. And the tension of that movie is like this world is worth fighting for. And what it kind of, I think, reveals at the end is maybe it's not, because the guy who thought that something horrific happens to his wife, well, that horrificness is true, but God still says it's worth fighting for. That's what's so powerful about all this Old Testament stuff, is God's value he places on having a people for himself. And then we see the fullness of that in who Jesus is.
Right.
It's good.
So how people might not, I mean, they kind of typically for Christmas, we're going to read through Matthew and the Christmas story, but, when you're talking about the Old Testament, how does that help us understand Christmas more fully?
Well, I think I would say in general, everything in the Old Testament, you have to begin by understanding that everything in the Old Testament is ultimately pointing towards Jesus. You know, you in the beginning, the whole narrative of Scripture, the creation, fall, redemption, recovery, like it is, everything is pointing to Jesus. So immediately you have the creation account and then sin, Adam and Eve. But right there we have, you know, Jesus, the foreshadowing of Jesus right there in Genesis chapter 3. And so we see, like, in everything
the
else.
Proto-Evangelion.
There you go. And so, you know, like, you see these pictures, and everything else throughout the Old Testament is pointing to Jesus. Even, like, so the whole sacrificial system is pointing towards Jesus. The tabernacle, the temple, this is pointing to Jesus, that he is the ultimate sacrifice. There will be no more need for sacrifice because Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice. The tabernacle, which represents God's presence, the temple where you go into God's presence, will be necessary because Jesus, the Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And now he lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I think, like, if we will go back and look, like, we will see everything is a shadow of Jesus, then ultimately we get that, you know, in the gospel accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see how that happens. But everybody, everything, you know, David is the shepherd king, you know, and that points us to who the true, but he fell, right? You know, he wasn't perfect. You know, Moses is this great deliverer, but he ultimately is not the final deliverer. Right. So everybody, everything is pointing to is a shadow of Jesus.
Yeah, and the Apostle Paul was so great, gifted, I mean, inspired by the Holy Spirit, ultimately, to point out these things in his writing in the New Testament, you know, and the author of Hebrews as well, which will, teaser, will be in next year. But, you know, when he talks about how the gospel was preached to Abraham beforehand, you know. Yeah, and it's like once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Yeah, and I would say to someone who is, maybe you're new, or maybe you've been studying the Bible for a long time, and you still struggle with, I don't see this. Like, I just want to encourage you. Like, you've been studying the Bible for a long time. I've been studying the Bible. Like, you've been studying the Bible for a long time, Kelly. Like, and we're all still learning.
She was
in
inductive Bible study at 1 year old going out of her house.
That's right. That
Williamson house.
But it's like, but we're still seeing it and still learning it.
Yes.
And there's still time. Something I've just recently in my reading plan been in Ezekiel, and I'm like, oh, wow. You know, you're seeing it new. That's how God's working through his word. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit just making these things come to life. And then when I read it again, probably in another year, as I go back through the Bible, I'll be like, oh, my word.
That's right.
So don't be discouraged if you don't see this. Like, just look for it. And find resources that help point you there, whether you know, a leader, a pastor, a teacher, or great commentaries, study Bibles. There's lots of resources that help point us there.
Yeah, to maybe put a bow on this, you know, and
see what you did there at Christmas time.
Thank you. 2 Timothy 3:16, which says all scripture is profitable for, inspired by God and profitable for proof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, so the man of God may be thoroughly equipped. Golly. It goes on to say to make you wise in salvation. And so, like, the point of scripture is to make you appreciate and understand salvation more. It's not just to be, like, it does make you equipped for life, right? Like, so Ruth was this great picture of faithfulness. Naomi was a picture of wisdom. Boaz was a picture of provision. But ultimately, what God was doing in all that was redemption. And that's is really the ultimate point of all the scripture. So it doesn't mean that we can't, you know, learn some things from David's courage, right? But ultimately, like, that wasn't the point.
Right.
Yeah. So, praise God.
Yeah. Well, kind of in that same vein, I guess, a question. We've talked about this. You guys have mentioned this maybe from the pulpit before. But when you're preaching, you might say, well, this is look at this as descriptive versus prescriptive. So for people, I think, you know, they can approach a passage in scripture and maybe you're a younger believer or maybe not. And you've just kind of been taught something one way. Like you said, like you're reading it again and the Lord's revealing something completely new to you. How do you really take a scripture and decide, like, okay, this is descriptive or it is prescriptive, you know?
Yeah. So if I were to say, which he just recently shaved his mustache, if I were to say Justin has a mustache, that describes that he has a mustache, just telling what he has. It's different if I were to say Justin should have a mustache. and because then I'm saying, hey, he needs to, according to me, he needs to have one. Now, my opinion doesn't matter that much. Christy Wyatt's opinion matters way more on that. But if God is the one saying it, God says Justin should have a mustache, he doesn't say that, then we should do it. So when you read the Bible, like, and it's okay because because the Bible is so significant, we tend to overcomplicate it. But when we read it and we just recognize, like, is this saying, Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 says about the church, after they responded to the gospel, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, the breaking bread, prayer, fellowship, more things. It doesn't say you have to do all that thing. It just said that's what they were doing. There are places that say, like, you know, study the scripture to show yourself approved. Like, so just you have to ask, is this describing or prescribing what to do? I just think once you hear that and you read it, it's easier to see that. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't do some of the things that are described, but it's not necessarily as black and white. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think you, like, there's an example in the Old Testament, you know, like with people that will often come up with as an objection to scripture, like slavery. You know, like the Bible describes slavery. It does, and even in the law there's provision for slaves so that people wouldn't abuse and mistreat, but it's not condoning slavery.
He never says enslave people.
Yes, exactly.
He never says that. He says how to treat them in that culture.
Yeah, and that was a protection for them. And so then fast forward to maybe some New Testament examples of this. It's like when Paul writes, like, about women wearing head coverings. Like, you know, I mean, I've been in Ukraine where they did that. Like, the women wore head coverings, and it was a sign of reverence to them, and it's not wrong to do that. But that was more a description of prescription. I would say in that for what was going on culturally, in a sign of reverence.
Yeah. So just to jump in there. So that is a prescription, but it's a prescription where you have to understand the context,
right?
And what
exactly
behind the prescription. So. Kind of that's taken at another level, and that some of the prescriptions you have to understand, like, okay, who is the audience? Why is he writing this? Those kind of things.
Yeah, so, and then trying to make that jump to application today in culture, I think that is where a lot of people get bogged down. Like, why don't we do that? If it was prescriptive, well, it is to them because of this, and so you dive deep.
Yeah.
And again, like you said earlier, I mean, some of these things just, I think the problem for a lot of American Christians is they want to master it right away. And I think there's some good intention in that, and there can be some arrogance in that. Because you're talking about sacred writings that there's a lot of that people have sought to understand for a long period of time. And so I think there needs to be a humility that says it's going to take me some time to understand these things. I actually think one of the major problems that happens in the church is when you put people in positions of leadership, and that's why there's prescriptive scripture that says not to do that, who are making confident assertions of things they don't understand yet.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So that kind of devolved or escalated, I don't know, from your question, but
no, yeah, that's great.
Hopefully that was helpful. That was good. And I will say this, and I think I speak on behalf of all of our pastors, if you ever have a question in Bible study, you are not bothering us by reaching out to us and asking. It may take a little bit of time for us to respond, but we would love to point you in a way of helping understand it better.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we have moved to our time for a game. Christmas time games. Okay, so
we're both a little bit of a brain fog right now, so this should be interesting.
Yes. All right. Well, this is going to be this is going to be a mix of Christmas and Bible, since we're talking about that.
Okay,
you know?
Okay, which are the same in some people.
Is it trivia? Right, exactly. I'm terrible at trivia, so
okay.
Go
so
ahead,
this is
going to
be
trophy,
like
how
a,
many days after Santa rose from the chimney? Jesus rising from the grave.
That's hilarious. Okay. So. There is a character who I'm trying to describe.
Okay.
And then I have three clues. So we're just going to be like first person that gets
He's so loud.
Okay?
And he shouts out.
But I'm so bad with names. I'm so bad.
He'll just like overwhem you because he'll be shouting
he'll
out.
He'll just
like,
start shouting
names.
It out. I'm okay.
Like, Santa, Rudolph, blah, blah. Listen, I'm like, no, I can't even.
That's like my, that was always my strategy. Like
I know,
in any kind of sports game, I'm just like, just be loud and distract
just
people.
Be loud
and then
distract
it's like,
him.
Oh, you're really good at defense. No, I'm just loud.
Okay, so help me out. Sorry, and if he's just yelling things out. Okay, so we'll just go with the first. Some of these might be easy.
Okay.
All right, so here's the first one. Spoke of a sign, mentioned a child before the child. These are a little poetic.
John the Baptist?
Sorry. No, close. Oh. Not close, but
Zechariah?
In the Bible. His words echo in every Christmas reading.
Isaiah.
Yeah,
I got it now.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Now, this is not a Bible character. I'm not going to tell you if it's a Bible character
that's
or not.
Fine.
Okay, I'll make it harder.
History.
Yeah, it does.
Okay, all right. Left behind.
Oh. Kevin McAllister.
Oh my gosh, you got it.
Say Home Alone.
I was going to say Kirk Cameron, but then
okay,
it
was close.
Okay.
The next one was Creative Defender.
Sometimes.
Oh, yeah, we should.
Next year.
All right.
We'll circle back in January.
Next one. Travels on assignment.
Santa Claus.
Seriously.
Delivered two birth announcements. Said, do not be afraid
Gabriel.
Both times.
Gabriel. I was like, what's his
Gabriel.
Name?
Like, some of these start out as,
I
know, like, as a holiday character.
I was thinking it was going to be an angel.
Okay, so 2-1.
I think if I say an answer, then I have to wait for you to say another answer before I shout out another answer.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
All right, y'all just keep up with it.
That's just me guarding against you.
Listen, I'm so slow at this job.
You guys are so competitive.
We are.
Okay,
1-1, right? Or is it
2-1?
It's 2-1.
Let's go.
Wanted a head count.
Herod.
Set a major journey in motion. Unknowingly fulfilled prophecy.
Caesar.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Did you say that?
No, he said Herod, but it was Caesar who
ordered
the census.
Ordered it.
That was a good one. That was a good one.
That threw me off. Threw me off the scent there.
Herod just wanted his head.
Yeah,
he didn't want
true.
The head count.
You know.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
3-1.
Just go ahead. Are there song lyrics in the next?
Do you want some
song lyrics?
Oh, dang.
Okay. Outcast profession. Saw glory without leaving the field.
Shepherd.
Yes.
That outcast profession.
That's good.
Wow.
I did not write these, just FYI. Okay, and they were also called the first missionaries without training.
Two.
Interesting.
Okay.
Interesting.
Saw emptiness before fullness. Her return sets up restoration. An ancestor maker in the king's lineage. I mean, kind of.
Wait, say
not
this
really.
Again?
That's a little off.
Okay, start over. Sorry.
Saw emptiness before fullness.
Mary?
Her return sets up restoration.
That's throwing me off.
Her return sets up
her
restoration.
Her return to her people.
Oh,
Esther.
You gave
me. No.
Away. Okay,
We both said one, so we could both guess now, right?
Her daughter-in-law was the ancestor
maker. Naomi.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
She wasn't really the ancestor maker.
So thrown off there.
Should have known.
I know.
You're just
okay.
Like,
I was like,
that
her
right
return.
Can you please drop those into your sermon? So
there
please.
You go.
I think you've got
four. 4-2.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, here's the next one. Not an elf. Loves syrup.
Buddy.
Yes. Oh, that was a tie. All right, that was definitely a tie.
4.5 to 2.5, right?
Okay. Not human. Moved with purpose. Led Gentiles to bow to a child. It's not really a person.
Confused, and moved, I started thinking of like purpose. A cartoon donkey. Like, I was
the
like,
star. The star,
yes, yeah, the star, yeah,
yeah. I was
not,
thinking of like,
yeah, me too.
Cartoon, I was like, okay, so we're like a cartoon nativity story.
So, wow,
okay,
5.5 to 2.5.
All right, this is
okay, you might get this one.
Can I sing I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas? Sure, yes, for extra credit. Beautiful.
Oh, I still haven't listened to last week's episode.
It was good. And I listened to it on 1.5. So you're like, it was really funny when you listened to it. Okay. Next one. Recluse, heart problem,
Grinch.
Stole Christmas.
Ah, yeah. He beat me. He beat me.
Good job. Okay.
5.5 to 3.5.
Next one. Not allowed in the group. Whether.
Rudolph.
Yeah.
I was going to go with the dentist for some reason, the little dentist kid.
I was doing this.
I thought you said the dentist. I was like, what?
Yeah, he wants to be a dentist, right? His friend on Rudolph.
Oh, I don't remember
claymation.
That.
The claymation, the old one. Yeah, it's like the stop motion one.
I don't do well with those old Christmas classics.
I love those. Listen,
I don't remember
one of those. The Burgermeister.
Listen, there is one of those of the little drummer boy, and it's awful.
It's terrible.
I was like, let's watch it.
And it was bad.
We just made fun of it the whole time.
PT actually said for us to do that song in service, we have to have that clip
playing in the background. 5.5 to 4.5. Oh, my gosh. That would be awesome. Okay, when I did this one, I was doing this with Chris, and
he's
said,
coming back.
Not allowed in the group, weather-related problem solver, and he goes, Jesus! And I was like, a red nose, no Rudolph.
Okay.
All right, two more.
Ooh.
No, I got to get them.
Yeah, you
visited
do.
By a messenger.
Joseph.
Mary. Yeah. I mean, it could have been
Joseph
both.
Applies.
Good guess. Yeah.
Well, there's
the next
more.
One was Let It Be to Me, and then Mother the Maker. Okay. All right, last one.
I won. I clinched my victory.
This is worth two.
I'm taking this one off.
I'm going for the top.
All right, Justin, you'll get this one. Let's see if you can get it in the first guess, okay?
Okay.
No gift to bring.
Little drummer boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Good job.
Rumpa pum pum. That was my first word. No, little drummer boy.
That's a good line. I have to get no gift to bring. That's
yeah,
fit for a king.
No gift to bring.
We don't, so I'll just do what I know.
He had a rhythm-based offering, according to this.
Yeah, that was his offering. I like that clue.
That was a good game, Kelly.
Yeah, well, thanks. Thanks, ChatGPT.
That's good.
Well, thanks for joining us. If you have any questions you want to submit for next year for 2026, you can email me.
We have one more episode this year.
Yeah, at kelly@churchonbayshore.org, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.